exploring various Islamic and Iranian occasions. Get ready for a riot tapestry of Quranic verses, heartfelt prayers, inspiring nasheeds, insightful reports, and so much more. Then get ready to listen to the hadith of the day. Sheikh Muhammad Jafar Danish shares a profound hadith from the Holy Prophet and his revered family, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. You'll get a brief explanation and commentary, often trying into significant dates on your lunar or solar calendars. It's a moment of reflection you'll carry with you throughout the day. Next, tune in for another captivating segment from our very own Iran Radio's productions. Following that, it's time for Let's Recite the Quran. This program draws you closer to the Holy Book, guiding you through eloquent recitation at level 2. We'll explore tajweed points through a compare and match method, applying them to the beautiful verses of the final surahs of the Holy Quran. Today's special will be back later, so stick around.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brother and sister, Salaamu Alaikum and welcome to a new episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for choosing this program to listen to. And inshallah, this program would be beneficial for you. Today, we're going to speak about modern idolatry.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
But first, as the usual, we look at the calendar. Today is Saturday, 1st of Jamadi al-Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of the month of Azar, 1404 of the Solar calendar, and the 22nd of November, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. And as the ritual of this program, we bless our moments by listening to a verse from the Holy Quran. For today, we listen to verse 3 of chapter At-Talaq. Then we come back to the studio and we know more about this verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه إن الله بالغ أمره قد جعل الله لكل شيء قدرا.
And will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse is saying that Allah will provide him from sources that he could have never imagined, and whosoever puts his trust in Allah, he will suffice him, since Allah will accomplish his purpose, and Allah has set a measure for all things. Thus, male and female witnesses are warned against entertaining fear of problems resulting from treading the path of truth, but they are enjoined to administer justice and invoke Allah for removing the impediments, since He guarantees that whoever puts his trust in Him, he will be delivered from entanglements.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
So we go straightly toward modern idolatry and the effects of this phenomena in our life. In the contemporary era, the concept of idolatry has involved transcending physical boundaries to encompass virtual realms. The proliferation of social media and digital platforms has given rise to new forms of idolization, where individuals and entities are revered and emulated online. This phenomenon warrants a profound examination through the lens of Quranic teachings, which provide a rich and enduring framework for understanding the complexities of idolatry in both its ancient and hyper-modern contexts.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Ali Hawes. Today we are going to talk about modern idolatry in 2025. With regard to modern idolatry, we can refer to one important case of it. There are lots of examples for this modern idolatry, but the most important that we want to talk about today is feng shui or superstition. Is it a superstition or reality? This is what we want to discuss today. Perhaps ever since humanity in the 21st century distance itself from the divine foundations, and with the rapid progress of science, drifted away from spirituality to the point of reaching depression, mankind has sought a self-made spirituality, one through which a person could craft an ideal world and attain the happiness he desires. However, in our environment too, it can sometimes be heard that the certain people, in pursuit of an imaginary happiness, are drawn towards colorful but hollow forms of mysticism, like that of feng shui. Feng shui is among the phenomena which, after several years of activity, has managed to attract followers. But to what extent feng shui is based on truth or superstition is the subject of our discussion today.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
This is today's special, and we'll look at one of the hidden ways of committing shirk. That is showing off. Yes, in our current age, few things are as common as showing off. A lot of people want everyone to see what they are up to so that they know that they too are progressing in life. We show off our personal lives so that our friends, relatives, and colleagues know that we are not losers. We show off our good deeds so that people know that we are charitable. The point is that a large number of people are growing accustomed to showing off themselves for the validation of other people and to be seen in a good light by others. Of all the ways by which we show off, showing off our good deeds is an act of shirk. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family said, "The thing I fear most for you is a lesser shirk or polytheism, showing off of good deeds." So, how to protect ourselves from shirk? One way could be learning and understanding Tawheed deeply. The first protection from shirk is knowledge. When you truly understand what Tawheed means, that Allah alone deserves worship, love, fear, and reliance, you naturally reject anything that competes with Him. Study the meanings of Allah's names and attributes. Reflect on His power, His mercy, His wisdom. When your heart knows Allah well, it becomes impossible to associate anything with Him. Read books or attend online courses on Islamic aqidah or belief, especially those examining oneness in worship and oneness in lordship. The stronger your understanding, the safer you are from hidden forms of shirk.
With regard to modern idolatry, we want to talk about the idols that we make newly, and we don't know about the reality of them. Are they really sacred or no, they're just superstition? These are the things that we need to discuss. So in this show, we shall actually target and address only one example of these idolatry. But hopefully we can find some time in future to discuss other examples as well. So let's discuss that if Feng Shui is a superstition or reality. According to its definition, Feng Shui, meaning wind and water, is an ancient Chinese philosophy and art used to arrange furniture and objects in homes, shops, gardens, and other places to influence health, joy, success, harmony, and the overall flow of positive qi energy. The main principle include avoiding clutter, using suitable colors and curved lines, and observing proper directions. However, today, Feng Shui is officially considered is considered superstition in China. When visiting shops that sell Feng Shui products, one often encounters statements like, "This item brings blessings to your home. This symbol will strengthen your relationship with your spouse," or, "This statue moves its spirit around the room at night and changes the energy." These claims arise a common question. How could a mere statue or symbol produce such effects? To explore how widely Feng Shui symbols are sold, we visited several statue stores. One female shopkeeper, whose store was filled with various figures, including Buddha statues and three-legged frogs, when asked whether she personally believed in Feng Shui, she answered, "No, I don't. It's nothing but superstition." It's interesting.
Dear brother and sister, we open a new chapter here, and that was about modern idolatry, one of the great and important phenomena in modern life. I think it's better to continue this interesting topic on the next episodes of today's special from IRIB English Radio. So be with us, and till then, we leave you in Allah's mercy. Fi amanillah.
You can talk it down, turn the other way, fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning. Yeah, yeah. When the sun there's a part of me that won't understand, having sleepless nights with my head in my hands. I'm here and tears are falling, yeah. If I could right the wrongs, would you lend me a hand? I would make a difference to this beautiful land. If I'm nothing, I have my intention. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. I need forgiving.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. So today we have a beautiful hadith. It's about the philosophy, you may call it, or the reason behind rulings of Allah, the rulings of religion. Basically, before I tell you the hadith, you know that Allah, when He has the do's and don'ts in religion, we say Allah says, for example, do not drink wine, alcohol, and so on, or do your prayers, and so on. He doesn't get a benefit or he doesn't get hurt by the sins or the good deeds that we do. It's all for us. He loves us. Out of love, He tells us to do this or not to do that. But unfortunately, many of us don't understand it. Even the, you know, some people who are kind of the new generations, and their fathers have been religious, so they are kind of religious. They don't know, they don't understand it, or they don't feel it. But you know, if someone doesn't know that, I wouldn't call them religious. They have no understanding of religion. Religion is Allah's love for you and Allah's instructions to you as a lover, as a caretaker. When it comes to the rulings, it has a benefit for us to obey those rulings. They are for us, for our best. She says, may Allah make faith a purification for you from polytheism, and prayer a safeguard for you against arrogance, and zakah, this is a kind of charity in Islam, you know, and zakat, or zakah, a purification of the soul, an increase in sustenance. When you give, you purify your own soul and you increase your sustenance in a way that may not be apparent to you. And fasting, a reinforcement for sincerity. And Hajj, a strengthening of the religion. So Hajj, fasting, prayer, zakat, these major dues of the religion, they have their own kind of reasons and benefits for us. So when we come to prayer, when we come to do something of these dues of the religion, and when we should do it, you know, with love, with eagerness, we should be eagerly doing them. And also when we do not do something because it is haram, you should know that it is because Allah loves us, that He says. It's like parents when they say to their child, to their babies, do not, for example, approach the hot water. Do not go to the kitchen, for example, to a very two-year-old baby, because he doesn't have any idea what danger lies there. So that is for the best of His creatures. Inshallah, we would love Allah back in that way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to Women of Resistance. Sanaa Wissam Hamad Al-Wade faced intense hunger, fear, humiliation, illness, all the pain that the genocide brought upon the people of Gaza. She says there's very little left of the Gaza they knew, but she's keen to tell her story so that history can record that they were a people who endured. Here is more of Sanaa.
On the cusp of another chapter in the Book of Palestine, Gazans have been told the pause button has been pressed on the live stream genocide. For those who have lived through numerous false dawns, can they truly start to hope? Sanaa's strength and determination during one of Palestine's darkest times was forged in the fires of knowledge. The sheer terror of what Sanaa experienced during the genocide will stay with her until her last breath. The destruction on display after the first ceasefire was announced earlier in 2025 had been mirrored by the second. Families like Sanaa's returning to the fragments of what's left of their lives. Like so many Palestinian mothers, Sanaa knows the pain and anguish of hearing your hungry children plead for something to eat. With the help of the Most High, Palestinians persevere. Staying alive has always been the goal, but the obstacles sometimes appear insurmountable. The genocide hasn't just changed the landscape and the psyche, it changed something else. The way some Gazans now view each other. Desperation had caused something to shift in a very small minority, and Sanaa, like so many others, miss what has been taken. Sanaa recognizes she can never go back to what was, but she wants her voice heard, her story told, as she makes her quiet yet bold proclamation. We matter. Here we stand.
Joining me in the studio today to discuss Sanaa's story is Mark Wadsworth, an award-winning Black rights campaigner and journalist. Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for coming in.
What a powerful testimony and inspiring from a woman's perspective, and it's such a needed voice, isn't it, in media?
Absolutely. And why do you think we need it more now, Mark? Because, you know, she's saying that a lot of journalists have been killed in Gaza, and therefore she feels the need now to tell the story, you know, which is quite powerful. Why has it come to this, though?
Well, we know that almost 300 journalists have been slaughtered by the genocidal Israeli regime. And there's a reason for why they're refusing any journalists, Israelis, from outside, from anywhere in the world. This is the most journalists killed in any conflict, even since the Second World War, when the Nazis were running riot throughout Europe. And there's a reason for this. The Netanyahu's of this world, the right-wing cabinet members, in fact his whole cabinet, his whole government, don't want scrutiny. They don't want first-hand eyewitness accounts from the ground of the genocide, of the slaughter, of the massacre that is going on. Let me debunk one word. This has not been a war. This has been a genocide. How can you call it a war? And this is a lie that's been promulgated in the British news media, that this is somehow a war.
It's interesting, Mark, because you are a journalist, I'm a journalist, and I think before our eyes we have seen the whole journalism flips upside down. I mean, you have journalists being killed and ordinary women standing up and saying we'll still have our voices heard. But then you have the legacy media here that you're talking about. You've worked in the BBC. You've had some experience working there. What do you say about the way they have covered the story of Palestine?
Well, the BBC, the British Bias Corporation represents the voice of the government. And so if you have a government of Keir Starmer that is pro-Zionist, pro-colonialist, pro-apartheid Israel, then that is what is reflected in the journalism. Jeremy Bowen, the foreign editor, is only now coming around to exposing more about the genocide, but they won't use the G word.
Mark, you know, we were just having a chat before and talking about how when we came into the profession, we were so idealistic. We believed journalism was something was going to change the world. You know, we fought cost to ourselves, you know. Where is journalism today? How do you see it? Not just in the West, but also globally. You know, what's your perspective of how the field has changed?
Do you know, we have to have an air of some optimism. The below 35-year-olds, people younger than us, are rejecting what you call legacy media, mainstream media. And they have their alternative ways through social media to communicate with each other. And so there is a counterbalance to what's going on. Yes, there's some awful journalism, but there's some fantastic alternative voices being heard and spread, and there's the left media as well. That does its bit.
And of course, you know, alternative media such as ours, you know, we are ensuring that we not just cover the story of Palestine as correctly as per the view of the Palestinians, but women in particular, you know, they've always been subjected to the maximum pain in any war. And these women of Palestine are just amazing. You know, you heard her story, despite everything she's been through. You know, the resistance in her voice, you know, is that something that you are quite used to as a, you know, black rights campaigner? Yeah, Mark, you know, what parallels do you see with the work that you've done for years, an award-winning black rights campaigner?
Well, we had heroes like Claudia Jones, who came from Trinidad and started the West Indian Gazette in Britain. She was a communist. She was a black rights and liberation champion. Women have played a huge role. Amy Garvey, you know, Marcus Garvey's wife, who lived longer than him. She was a very powerful voice. In the country that you come from, Tanzania, we have a woman president, one of the few. I think there have only been four or five women presidents in Africa, including in Ethiopia and now also in Namibia. Women of color in the global south are the future.
But I mean, I have to pick up one issue talking about Africa with you. Yes, we have women of color, but they aren't always on the right side of history, Mark. You know, Tanzania today is not the Tanzania of Mwalimu Nyerere, who are in the forefront of fighting for the rights of Palestinians. Today, even going onto the streets to protest or to, you know, speak up for Palestinians is a major issue. How has this come about?
Well, just because someone's a woman, just because someone's a person of color, doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be on the side of justice. Look at Kemi Badenoch in Britain, the leader of the Conservatives, who is of Nigerian descent, Nigerian parents. She's awful on migration. She's awful on issues of fighting racism because she's a right winger. Some of these questions are about class. They're not just about color or gender.
Absolutely.
And
I mean,
she places Preeti Patel,
Sunak,
Suella Braverman, David Lammy,
yeah.
Who
Shubana
I know.
Mahmoud now.
Yes,
yeah.
This justice minister, yeah. Who wants to clamp down on Muslim rights. She's more for the Zionists than she is for her own color and her own religion as a Muslim. So let's not all automatically think. I mean, Margaret Thatcher was a woman, but she did nothing for women's rights. So it doesn't always follow that just because you come from an oppressed group, you've got to be in favor and in support of the oppressed.
Absolutely. Going back to Palestine, you know, there is now this ceasefire that's really hanging by the thread. What do you think, Mark? Where do you think this is all going? Do you have faith in, you know, some peace in the Middle East?
There can't be peace unless Palestine is free. This is about the occupation being removed, the Israelis moving to back to the 1967 borders, which includes leaving between the Golan Heights in Syria. Let's look at this. It's not just about the West Bank and Gaza. This is about Lebanon. This is about Syria. This is about attacks on Iran. And Press TV does a great job. Al Jazeera and others do a great job in telling the truth to the world, because there are a lot of lies. There's a lot of Western propaganda. And we know whose interests are being served by these news outlets that, frankly, are a part of the crimes against Palestine and the oppressed in the West Asia, in the region. And they will have their day when they will be put on trial, as well as the politicians.
Yeah.
They've been complicit in this genocide.
Now, talking of this propaganda and all these people who are complicit here, Mark, I think we have come quite a way in the activism, you know, forcing our, even though they are still quite complicit, there's been very strong activism for Palestine in the Western countries, or around the world, to be honest. Do you feel that this sort of a ceasefire can push that back? Can people can become a bit more complacent and think there's a ceasefire and not see the bigger picture? Or do you think we've gone way past that, you know, lies anymore?
But in the short period since the so-called ceasefire, the Israelis have got their hostages back. We've had a few hostages back from Israel, and that's what they were. They weren't, you notice the difference in language. Their people in captivity are hostages. Our people are prisoners. So there needs to be a reset. And I'm saying that the Muslim countries, the Arab countries, particularly the Gulf states, need to do a lot more. Their peoples are demanding, their masses are demanding that they do a lot more to support the Palestinian cause and oppose the occupation and support the resistance. It's not happening because they're in the back pockets of the Americans and the West. It's about money to them, not about principle and morality. And I want to see another Arab Spring. I think that's the only way we move our leaders, our rulers. We need that in Africa. We need that in the global south, as you've seen in just recently in Madagascar. And more will come. I was in Egypt in 2011, Tahrir Square. And unfortunately, that was subverted. And Sisi, who was the enemy in a military uniform then, in with the Americans, took his uniform off, and is now the president of Egypt. This is the problem. We have a problem, a crisis of leadership, not just in the Arab world and West Asia, but in this country, in Britain. But the resistance will continue. There are still pro-Palestine marches going on, despite this Mahmoud Justice Secretary saying she wants to ban them, and Starmer wanting to ban them. We will continue to resist. 80-year-olds, pastors, priests, pensioners are being arrested for holding up a board against genocide and in support of Palestine action.
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, the lid has been lifted and we are not going back. And this is for global activism. You know, people have to continue fighting for the truth, because otherwise we'll all remain occupied. Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure having you. And thank you all. We leave you with the sounds of Palestine by the artist Saif. Goodbye.
باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Mahdi. Thank you for having me, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. First, Brother Muhammad is going to talk about the music or the musical miracle of the Noble Quran. Then, we all are going to listen to a recitation by a famous reciter of the Noble Quran. And at the end, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation from different aspects. Stay tuned.
إن هذا القرآن الذي جل فيه.
Well, in the first part of today's program, as always, we're going to talk about the miraculous music of the Noble Quran. We're talking about how impressive the sound of letters of the Noble Quran can be. Brother Muhammad, at your service.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One of my favorite places in the Quran where you could actually feel the meaning of the word and visualize the thing that's happening in that verse is Surah Maryam, verses 88 to 91. So let me recite these verses. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا. What does this mean? It means they say that the Beneficent One, which means Allah, has taken a son.
Mm-hmm.
That Allah has begotten a son. Now look what happens. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. What does this mean? It means you have put forth a very monstrous thing that you have said. It's a very extravagant claim. Now, in this verse, look how Allah depicts the message and the meaning of this verse by just the sound of the letters. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. You could feel that the skies are ready to burst, the earth to split asunder, and the mountains to fall down in utter ruin. تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ. يَتَفَطَّرْنَ means to burst. وَتَنْشَقُّ. It means to split. Just look, we have a letter of shatta with tashdeed. Okay? وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. It means the mountains are about to fall down in utter ruin. And دعوا لرحمن ولدا. That they should take a son for the Beneficent. So this really, this is very, it's a very influential verse in terms of negating the idea that God has a son and Jesus is the Son of God. This is what is about to happen if such a thing is true. So the mountains are going to split, the earth is going to, you know, the skies are going to burst, and so on and so forth.
And tashdeed on letters of
shatta.
Yeah.
and tashdeed on letters of shadda makes this intensity doubled, I think.
Yeah, it makes, it intensifies this the meaning. And yes, it, you know, the intensity becomes greater.
Yes.
Yes, whenever you pronounce these letters of displosives, they're explosive letters.
Yes.
And when you give them tashdeed, it adds, it doubles
yes.
the plosiveness.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Today, in the second part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to the recitation of Brother Taha Hosseini reciting Surah Al-Shams from the very beginning to the end of verse 10. Let's enjoy it. Dear audience, you're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Al-Shams from the very beginning to the end of verse 10, recited by Brother Taha Hosseini. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this recitation by Brother Taha Hosseini was performed when he was a teenager. He was an adolescent, actually. And the thing about adolescents and, in general, children, and as well as women, is that they have a soprano voice. Soprano means that the register of their voice is really high. It can get really, really high, and a lot higher than men's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we see this, the Jawabul Jawabs of Taha Hosseini, no man can perform handle, these jawab, okay, no matter how high and how extensive his vocal range is. And it's only possible for children and women. But once these children, they reach the age of maturity and they in puberty, their voice cracks, their voice changes and gets a lot deeper.
Mm-hmm.
so they can no longer recite like this. Sometimes this has a negative effect on them, and they lose their hope, and they become demotivated a little bit. But they shouldn't be like, they should try to, first of all, in the age of puberty, they should not recite the Quran at all, mm-hmm. because it's very bad for their voice, because their voice is just beginning to change and, evolve into a masculine voice.
I think
so. Whenever, if they recite the Quran at this particular stage in their life, it's going to do them a lot of harm. Because the voice, you know how it goes, it cracks and it goes like we have this cracking of the voice. It's gonna be really harmful to their voice if they recite the Quran in this way. So they should recite the Quran in low registers, or they shouldn't recite the Quran at all until their voice becomes,
complete
stable, and there's no more cracking of the voice.
I think there might be some exceptions actually. Sheikh Abdul Basit, Muhammad Abdul Samad.
Yeah, but his voice is still not as high as this. Yeah. He can't get to the soul, even though it sounds as if he's reciting in a very high-pitched voice. In fact, his voice is still not as high as this,
mm-hmm.
as Brother Taha Hussaini is reciting.
Okay.
He has, Sheikh Abdul Basit, he has a very melodious and very smooth voice and very gentle voice. It seems to us that he's reciting in a very high register. It's also because he's applying some pressure on his voice at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still not anywhere as high as this in terms of register. Now the tajweed.
Good idea.
وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. The word الشَّمْس, we have a sun letter in the word shams. So we have to pronounce the sheen with tashdeed without pronouncing the lam sakina. وَالشَّمْس. And it's interesting that the reason the sun letters are called sun letters is because of the word Shams itself.
Means sun.
Yeah. And wal qamari, we have a moon letter here, just like the word qamar.
Yes,
whenever it
itself
has an alif lam, the lam sakina is pronounced. And that is why they're called
moon letters, actually.
Moon letters, because letters that come after lam and where the lam sakina is pronounced, they're called moon letters. And this is because of the word al qamar.
Al qamar itself.
Yeah. إذا تلاها والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها. Look at the rhyme in these verses. Short verses with rhymes. Allah
yes.
is swearing by
sun.
The sun, whenever it rises, by the moon, by the day, by night, by the sky, the earth. And we have this very good rhythm, this very... it's a rhythm that's very pleasurable to hear.
And each pair of words are antonyms.
Yeah, they're antonyms, and also the verb is related to that word.
Yes.
وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. By the sun and its splendor, ضُحَاهَا. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. And the moon that follows the sun, تَلَاهَا. This is actually another miracle of the Quran, because... at that time, people didn't know that the moon revolves or moves around something and revolves around the sun. Here, Allah is saying, وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, by the moon, as she follows him, follows the sun. And so as we can see that the pairs, the words and the verb of that word, they're very much related. This makes it very beautiful. And in terms of tajweed, so we said the sun letters and the moon letters. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّهَا. Again, this is sun letter. وَاللَّيْلِ. This is another sun letter. وَالسَّمَا. Again, seen as a sun letter. وَالْأَرُضِ. Now the final one is, not the final one. In the sixth verse, we have a moon letter. And in the word الْأَرُضِ, we have a lot with a kasra. We have to make sure that the tafkhim is not too much. And in fact, it should be at the lowest level.
Yeah, the shape of lips help us to apply the...
وَمَا طَحَاهَا. The ta has a lot of tafkhim. It's a letter of
istila'. At the second highest level, actually.
Not the highest level, the second highest
second
level.
Highest level.
Yeah, is that what you say? The second highest level. Exactly.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر
diverse range of programs.